Over the last month, we've been talking about forgiveness. We began by looking at forgiving and remembering and the modern application of the Truth and Reconciliation Council of South Africa. Next, we moved to the habitual nature of forgiveness and the daily impact of again and again forgiving even the most egregious of offenses, even the Nazi concentration camps. Last week, we pondered the radical way of forgiveness that the Amish have demonstrated for us in concrete actions. And today, my friends, it is our turn. After looking at how others have heard the words of Jesus and applied them in radical ways, we examine our own lives and look at who is Jesus calling us to forgive. Now, Jesus speaks and demonstrates forgiveness throughout the Gospels. This morning, we have that wonderful story that Dave read for us. The scribes and the Pharisees bringing a woman to Jesus, claiming she is caught in adultery. Hard to be an adulterer by yourself, but she is the one brought to Jesus, asking him to exact the full strength of the Mosaic law against her. And they sit back and kind of wait for him to do his work. What's he going to do here exactly? But we know this Jesus. Jesus never misses an opportunity to teach, and we don't hear him exacting that law of stoning this woman. He turns the law on its head and invites those present, if they themselves have not sinned, go right ahead. Throw the first of the stones. Now, I can imagine in their minds it's going very quickly. They hadn't considered that their lives would somehow be connected to hers. You can almost hear the pin drop in the scripture as the connections are made. And we watch in our mind's eye as the crowd drops away. Her holiness is wrapped up in theirs. There are none, we know, who are left, but Jesus, who can stand up to the level of scrutiny, and we hear his words, go home, change your ways. Forgiveness offers a new way to go home. We hear about forgiveness again in Paul's letter to the Colossians when he says this is what the church should look like, not just individuals, but the whole of the church should look like. Paul says church should look different. It should look like compassion and kindness, gentleness, meekness, and patience. The church of Jesus Christ should look like forgiving one another again and again and again. And the imperative is clear. You must forgive, Paul writes. Did you know the Bible has an awful lot to say about forgiveness? If we did okay counting 116 times, Old and New Testament, 116 times, there are references to how either God forgives us or we ought to forgive one another. That topic's given a lot more attention than some of the others we've paid a lot of attention to. Now, I have to tell you, as I prepared this series, Betsy Smith and I had a lot of conversations about music and a lot of conversations about resources. And she said to me very aptly, you know, there's not a lot of songs about us forgiving others. There's lots and lots of music about how God's forgiven us and how we ought to feel because God has generously forgiven us. She said, I think they seem to shy away from our job to forgive others. I want to give her credit this morning for her insight. It seems it's not just the local church. The bigger church wants to shy away from how hard it is to forgive others. It's a lot easier to say, God has forgiven me, than it is for to say, I will forgive you. And even when we think we might want to forgive someone, we're not exactly sure how that looks, how exactly to forgive and remember, to do it over and over again, how to do it concretely and visually. Some of you might remember about a year ago on my first Sunday with you, I shared the long view of my personal testimony and a piece of who I am as an individual. You might remember on that day, I shared with you that my grandfather had sexually abused me as a little girl, 5 to 10 years old. And at the time, I had no idea what was going on. My grandfather would say, that's how a grandfather loves his granddaughter. It was only later I came to realize something was terribly, terribly wrong. And for years, my parents helped me, assisted in some legal challenges, and we didn't see him. You can begin to imagine. So the story goes, when I was 15, my grandfather was dying, and my dad wanted to see his dad, wanted to take his family to see his dad as he was dying. So it was Christmas time, the house that gets filled with family, aunts and uncles, presents and good food, the warmth of a Christmas kind of experience, the eagerness of catching up with the family, and children kind of playing around underfoot as they do. As I tried to figure out, where do I belong here? And how could I be back in this place I hadn't been in a number of years? So I stood in my Bopsha's kitchen, and something kind of moved within me. My 15-year-old self didn't have these words, didn't know exactly what was going on, but today I do. The Holy Spirit moved within me, asked me beyond myself to forgive my pop-pop. I asked to talk to him alone, and my parents kind of looked at me sideways. What's she gonna do? What's going on? My grandfather had actively begun the process of dying. It would be 3 weeks to that day that he died. He laid in his bed looking like a mere shadow of the Army Sergeant Major that he had been. I offered him a quilt that I had made for him, and he received it with two hands. As he received it, I said three words, just three. I forgive you. He didn't have a lot of strength in him. He nodded his head just slightly and held on to the quilt. He was weak. He couldn't hold his head fully up, and words didn't pass easily through his lips at this point. I left the room. I was trembling. Remember, I'm 15 years old. Now, I must be authentic with you. There was no magical moment in this verbalized forgiveness. I didn't all of a sudden feel like a fully healed person. I still had to name how I had been hurt and deal with the surprises that came up in my life as I grew up. But there was a freedom in retelling the story instead of reliving the story. There was a freedom in disconnecting the hurts from what had happened to experiencing them again. I didn't stop being hurt. years of therapy and self-awareness and spiritual direction, lots of good prayer and loving people helped with that. But it changed the path that I was walking on. One from being driven away to one to being driven towards redemption of a painful experience. I don't share that with you this morning as a way of saying this is the only way that forgiveness looks. I share it with you to say this is when I started to care so much about forgiveness. This is when I started to say, even as a 15-year-old person, it matters that we tell one another that we forgive each other, and it matters that we do it even when we're not fully convinced ourselves that all our pain is gone. Now, we've discussed about a month worth of forgiveness, and I know that God has been working on so many of you. I know this because you've graciously shared that with me. I know that God has been softening hearts and has been working with your spirits as well, that you too might offer forgiveness. So this morning I want to walk through one way that we can forgive. This morning I'm going to invite you to bring to mind someone who God is calling you to forgive. This morning, someone, one person in your mind, pause and ask God to bring someone to your mind. Now, if you're anything like me, there might be a whole bunch of people that are crowding out your mind right now. Choose one. It might not be easy to hold this one in your mind, but I ask you to do it on the strength of Paul's reminders to be a person of compassion and of kindness, of humility and of patience. Remembering this person in your mind is also a child of God. This person was also blessed with a calling and with gifts, created and loved just like you are. In your bulletin this morning, there is a post-it note. It's there on purpose. If you're sharing a bulletin, we tried to put two post-it notes so you could each have one. Even though the person in your mind is a child of God, this child of God has hurt you in some way. Maybe like the kids said, they've angered or upset you, or just hurt. They've violated or impressed upon you. What I'm going to invite you to write on the post-it note is to name the hurt, not the person, to name the hurt. What's one way the person you need to forgive hurt you? For me, as I continue this many years later to forgive my pop-up, one of my hurts is that he betrayed the trust of a young child. That's me. I trusted him implicitly, and he took advantage of that. In naming that hurt, we remember and redeem it by making meaning out of it. Would you write that hurt on the post-it note? Now, in just a few minutes, I'm going to invite you to come forward and to place your hurt on the cross, to offer that hurt to Jesus who loves and cares for us, Jesus who redeems and who heals us, Jesus who takes our scars and makes them redeemed, who heals even our scars. You might consider at that time pausing at the cross. As you place your hurt upon the cross, you'll notice there's some baskets down here. There's some blue hearts down below the cross. These are plantable hearts. This is paper that has seeds within it. The instructions are also up front for those of you who are very detail-oriented. As you place your hurt on the cross, I'm going to invite you to pick up the heart of Jesus, and I'm going to invite you to do something with it. Give it to the person that you're forgiving. Tell them the story of forgiving again and again. Tell them the story of radical concrete action as they plant the heart. May it be that your relationship grows to a new place. Now, some of you might be thinking the person that you're forgiving is an impossibility. You can't hand them a heart. Perhaps they're deceased. Perhaps they're beyond contact. Perhaps it would not be a good choice for you to put something in their hand. In that case, I invite you to take the heart and plant it yourself, remembering the call of Jesus to forgive others. I'm going to offer us in this time of prayer and then ask Janice to play for us some music that invites us into this time, as you feel led, to put your hearts on the cross and accept a gift of forgiveness. Let us pray. Merciful God, you created us in your image. You created us to be like you, to love like you, to treat others as you do, to forgive like you. Lord, we've sometimes gotten in our own way of living as your people. We've rejected the humanity in others and preferred division over relationship. We've chosen the easy disconnect over the everyday work of forgiving. Forgive us, we pray. Turn our hearts back to you, O Lord. As we draw in our mind the face of someone we are called to forgive, keep us faithful to remember and to redeem the pain that was caused in relationship. Lord, may we open ourselves to be conduits of your love and your forgiveness. Open our hearts now to the movement of your Spirit. In the forgiving name of Christ, we pray. Amen. Thanks be to God for the beauty of God's people who not only say, I have been forgiven, but who say, I will forgive others. And how beautiful it was to watch you all bear one another's burdens as post-it notes might have come down upon you, and you said, I'll hold up their hurt and put it back on the cross for them. Thanks be to God for the ways in which we model God's love for one another.